Okay, we'll go ahead and call to order the regular meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Just have me call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and myself are also here.
Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This then takes us to public communications.
Nobody up there, but Mr. Passwater's called in.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and let Mr. Passwater have the floor. If you'd like to come on up to the podium there.
That's quick. Mark Passwaters, 5130 Spring Valley Road, London, Ohio. And I'm one of your bus drivers. And what I want to do is present an option for the automatic layoff of 5 bus drivers with the 2-tier busing program. I think we have an opportunity to prevent layoffs, not increase the costs, and save the district money. We need these drivers. With 2-tier busing, routes are going to be increased from 4.5 hours a day to 7 to 7.5 hours a day. Those drivers interested in a full-time job, that's great. There's some that aren't. They like the flexibility of just working 4.5 hours a day. And then there's others that have part-time jobs in between their routes that they like. If we eliminate 5 drivers, you're going to force those people that want to drive 4.5 hours a day into situations they may not want, into full-time jobs and giving up their part-time job. However, if we keep 5 drivers, we could actually drive split routes, implementing a job sharing program. The drivers retained can split the routes with those not wanting 7.5 hours a day and still be able to maintain their full-time status. Now, one of the pros listed in the 2-tier program was that the 712 students would be able to leave early for extracurricular activities. But that is only going to happen if we have enough drivers to cover the regular routes. By keeping 5 drivers, you're always going to guarantee that everybody's going to get to their event on time. Also, when it comes to costs, when this was presented last year, one of the other pros was the cost savings with salaries and benefits by eliminating 5 positions. From then to present, we've lost 3 drivers just due to normal attrition. All 3 participated in the benefit program. None of the 3 have been replaced. So a huge portion of that cost savings has already been realized. Of the 5 additional drivers slated for layoff, and all I'm using is the seniority list, okay? But of those 5 additional drivers, there's only 2 that participate in the benefit program. So your savings on 3 drivers that don't participate is only going to amount to about $40,000 a year. So this is negligible when you compare that to the increased expense of unemployment insurance and the expense of hiring contract substitute drivers. There's a lot more I can discuss, but my wife says I've only got 3 minutes. So anyway, here's what I'm requesting. There's been a great deal of research and number crunching gone into the development of the 2-tier program. I'm asking a similar amount of effort be applied in finding ways to keep all of our drivers. It won't cost the district anything to form a committee and research a job sharing program. The results could save 5 jobs and potentially save the district a lot of money in the long run. And I don't know if I have the right to say, hey, what do you think? But what do you think?
I think it's you put a lot of thought into this, and it's a lot of good thought, and I think we need to take the time to sit back and look at it ourselves.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. So at this point, you want to go to the students?
Yeah.
Next up, we'll recognize some of our students that had some high-level accomplishments at the Madison County Fair this past summer. We were fortunate enough to recognize some other students at the previous meeting. We were able to get the rest of the list from various people and sent out invitations. And I believe we have 4 of those students here tonight. I think I've talked to everybody. I didn't get Luke. Luke, when we call your name, you'll just come up here and we'll recognize you, and then you'll come on up and get an award, okay? We'll start out with Macy Burchett. Come on up. Macy was our showman of showmen for the beef market steers, grand champion, beef breeding heifer, and showman of showmen beef breeding heifer. Sounds like she had a very good fair. So congratulations, Macy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say some things we're going to do that. Yep. Next up, Zane Davison. Zane had the grand champion beef feeder. Congratulations, Zane. Next up, we have Luke Mason. Luke had the reserve champion beef feeder.
Congratulations.
Good job, Luke. Next up is Cheyenne Young. Cheyenne was the showman of showmen and rabbits. Congratulations, Cheyenne. Anybody that's here? Okay.
Patisse.
Okay. I missed you.
I tried.
That's Jacob and Allison.
Jacob.
Gotcha. Make sure I got the right names. All right. Jacob. Petey, come on up.
Petit.
Sorry. Jacob was the Grand Champion Swine Breeding Project. Next up is Allie Petit. Allie was the reserve champion swine breeding project and the showman of showmen for swine breeding. Congratulations. Best to get everybody we possibly can to get them recognized, because we know our kids are busy in the summer. We'll make sure they get recognized for their accomplishments. And again, I'll say congratulations. Now we're back to.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mike. You guys, if you want to head out, you can head out.
Yeah.
You're more welcome to stay. We can get a picture.
I was going to say, well, the newspaper want to take a picture. We actually have a board back there set up where they can.
Thanks for coming out.
Yep. We'll wait.
Good job, guys.
You want to take a picture back there for us?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
There you go.
We might as well just send you one, because our principal has our camera now. So. twice now.
Huh?
We get in the paper twice now.
Okay, so that takes us to board work session, which brings us to Mr. Swanger to talk about tolls.
I hope everybody brought binoculars, or that you see much better than I do. Send those down. These were the objectives for 2015-16, which is the class of 2015. We're always a year behind. And a lot of the results on here are the results that we collected at tolls. They've been forwarded to the state, but that report card's not out yet. But hopefully next year it will be. Anyway, first goal that we had was retention rate of students. And we noticed over the years that from original sign up to graduation, we were losing quite a few kids. So we started to record that. And our goal last year was to retain 75%, and we actually retained 79% of the students that signed up through the end of their senior year. So we're doing better. every student that leaves gets an exit interview so that we can find out what the problem is and if there's something we can do about it, we change things. Our goal for this next year, just leave that there. I've got the goals on here for next year. Next year, that same goal is incorporated and okay, 85% is what we're shooting for with the class, or for, I'm sorry.
That's the next one, right? So like for the, let me help you out here, for the annual district objectives for next year? Is that what you're trying to say? you got to go down to the next page.
It's on your, probably on your
third sheet.
Third page, second sheet.
Yeah, so there's four goals I'm just trying to help you.
Right, there we go.
Okay, so.
So we managed to meet that and actually beat it. And just like on the grade card, the higher you get, the higher you score, the harder it is to get those numbers up. Next goal was to increase composite technical skill attainment, or the passage rate, and these are essentially the grades that come out during the grading period throughout the year. And our goal on that for the class was, okay, we had a passage rate this year of 82%. Not where we wanted, but that was higher than the year before. And of course, our goal for next year, I think, is 85. Okay, goal for next year is 85%. Third goal was to increase the composite-related positive post-program placement rate. In other words, what they do after graduation. We want to know, after they've gone through, if they've graduated from Tolles, what are they doing, and how many of those kids are following the route that they chose. Our goal was 70%, and we met it. Didn't go over much, it was 72%. And next year, the goal is 75%. Doesn't sound like much, but 75% of, or I'm sorry, 5% of 600 kids would mean an additional 30 students that are going into something related to what they took at Tolles. Number four, increase the number of students participating in work-based learning experiences. This could be advanced placement, could be a summer job, could be an internship. And we had, of our kids last year, we had 222 kids. Okay, if you look on the back of that, it will give you the number of the class of 2016, we do know we've got these numbers, but what we look at is advanced placement, how many kids are out there actually in the workforce, how many of them have completed the workforce readiness credential, we look at internships, and we look at college credit. It's the same at Tolles as it is here. We've got articulated credit, which articulated credit part of the career tech program, and certain colleges, if they go to that college, then they don't receive credit for it, but it moves them ahead in coursework. So they can shorten the period of time that they're in school. CTAG credit is pretty much the same thing, whatever they take, and this is academic as well as career tech. They don't get actual credit for it, but any state, college, university, whatever, will look at those, and they may receive advanced placement. College Credit Plus, this is transcriptable credit. It's a college course taught by a qualified college instructor, whether that is somebody that comes in or whether that is somebody on our staff, like here at Plains, we've got a lot of our teachers are associate professors at different colleges. They teach the class, they teach the curriculum that's at the college, and the kids get college credit for it. not only at the college where they've taken the class, but also any college. It's transferable credit. And the numbers that I've got on that, advanced placement, we had 18 kids, workforce readiness credential. We went from 2 kids the first year, we did it up to 30 this last year. College credit plus transcriptable credit, 99 students out of 640 this past year. CTAG credit, 234, and articulated credit, just to give you some idea of the number of programs that we have that are also tied into some college or university or tech school, whatever it happens to be. Now remember, this is 2 years, juniors and seniors, but that total number was 14, or I'm sorry, they put the duplicates are in here, but the credit was actually 1,000 credits that our kids earned, juniors and seniors combined. So we met the goal. That goal for next year is to increase those numbers. I'm not sure if Dr. What we looked at, the numbers that are on there that were completed this year, we're looking to increase each of those by at least 10%. So that's the goals for this past year. We've met most of the goals. We're always working to improve them and do more for kids or get kids more involved, whichever way you want to look at it. Any questions on outcomes or goals for next year? The only difference in goals for next year, and I'm getting most of the numbers on those, we have added one. We're taking 5 classes. In other words, 5 different teachers in the classes that they have in career tech, and those students are developing a new, actually, we're calling it a portfolio, and I guess it's a portfolio. I call it a glorified resume, because it's not just the listings that you normally see on the resume. A lot of our students are already using videos with their resumes to show them actually performing skills. This will add to that. There might be an interview or mock interview in there that the student has done. They may have several videos of skills that they've done, plus what you normally see on a resume. But we're trying this for 5 classes as a pilot this year to see how well it works and if it's better than what we're doing now, and if so, how much. Any questions on that? Everything that we do up here, or everything that's in the goal, most of this, other than the portfolio, is what's on a report card. And career tech, just like our school here, every time you think you've got it figured out, it changes it. It changes the rules. And although we did come out, I brought the grade card. It's not exactly what we wanted, although on the grade card, we really only had 1 B. Everything else was A's. And our B was in 5-year graduation rate. And the reason it came out to be, we only had a graduation rate or 5-year rate of 92%, but part of that is due to the fact that we have some students in that 5th year who actually aren't full-time students at Tolles, even though they are. In other words, they may have, they're back for the 5th year,
and some of them may have come in from someplace else. Several reasons why they might be in there, but we also have some of those, we have a higher dropout rate for those. They decided to come back, and then they decided they didn't want to come back. So, but we're working on that to get that back up, but everything else on the grade card is an A. And some of these are, well, wasn't as bad this year, but the technical skill. Every industry does not have some kind of test or license. And if there is none, then our kids can't take it. So we measure what is available out there. If it's a license and they can pass the test, or if it's a certificate, whatever it happens to be, that's what we use on those. We used to use SLOs, student learning objectives, and we've gotten away from that, and we're going to state or national recognized certificates, diplomas, whatever it happens to be, because we want them to meet the skills needed in the industry.
Do you need that anymore? Are you done up here? I'll turn the lights on if you're done up here.
Oh. The other thing that I've got, you've already got this on your sheet, but our student enrollment, 2016-17, 670 kids at the present time, compared to last year, and this is what we have right now. That number, I'm sure, will drop some more. It's dropped, I think, 38, yeah. That dropped 740, we're down to 670, but the big dropouts at the beginning of the year. There won't be as much of a decline between now and the end of the year. But based on last year, we're still ahead, we're growing, we're bringing students in. Madison Plains enrollment in polls is 52 kids this year, which is 38% of Madison Plains students. In other words, the number of juniors and seniors here. I think 38% is a pretty good number. Number of jobs out there, about 60%.
Yeah,
1 minute.
How much? 1 minute.
Okay, listen quick. Okay, Project Surge is the eighth year for the program. Again, there's 10 students. The kids are out there working in their area. We've been recognized of having 100% placement for those students who come through that program 6 out of 7 years. The 1 year that we didn't get 100%, we actually had 90. There was one student that actually moved. That's why I didn't complete the program, but not necessarily why, it's how many. Ramtech, all the equipment's in. We have programs in the high school for logistics and engineering. The instructors are either they're certified in Panu. Mitsubishi, we tried to get them certified in that last summer. They were supposed to go to Marion and be trained there, and Marion had a problem, didn't get done. Hopefully that'll happen this fall, and we'll get the other teachers. And that training is so that those teachers can certify the people that are in that class to operate that equipment. Adult programs, we now are providing adult basic learning for Union County. Those programs are up and running. The new class is in progress, and there's a second class. Johnson Industries came in, gave us 5 students, and if they like it, they want 25 more between now and the end of the year. There's a basic and advanced welding, EMTs, DPR, firefighting, And we're signing people up for those last four, auto restoration, hydraulics, pneumatic, and blueprint reading, and that'll be determined by the signing. Public open house was last Thursday. Really good turnout. Tomorrow, Thursday, is for having a college fair. Just tell you a little bit, we had a couple of workshops that covered college readiness, 6th to 8th grade, and another one on the workforce readiness commercial.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we'll move on to approval of the board minutes.
I made the motion that the minutes of the August 9th, 2016 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
That takes us to the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have in your packet there information. You've got the July financial statements as well as the August financial statements. You remember those were done until the day of the board meeting last month, and so you didn't have time to look at them. So hopefully you've had time to look at those. With that in mind, I'm just going to go over the August statements because it's essentially the same data when we look at the cumulative data. And that's what I like to pull up here would be the spending plan. It's been updated for 2016-2017. One thing to kind of cut down on the number of files included too, you'll see I've included those all into one file with the exception of the check register, receipts, revenue ledger, and cash fin sum. Scroll down through here, get an idea where we're at. First thing to come up is our revenue history. Again, this is August, so we've got July and August data in here. See, we haven't gotten that far yet. We're just at the start of the fiscal year. But compared to this time last year, apologize, that's July. Pull up August. Our annual revenues to date are $1,645,381. That's just a little bit off from where we were this time last year. And our expenditures were at $2,166,000, which is down also. So if we're down in revenues, it's good that we're down in expenditures too. We're down about $200,000 in expenditures since compared to this time last year. A lot of that is timing issues and what projects we have going on during different times of year. Our cash flow analysis, right here, just kind of like to point out, and I'm going to come up to the screen if that's okay, so it's easier to point. One thing I like to point out, this is 2014, this is 2015, 2016, and 2017. The thing I wanted to point out is you can see how we've kind of started to close the gap. We've got less of a deficit from year to year than what we've had since 2014. You see that gap's fairly large right here. Gets smaller from 15 to 16, smaller yet from 16 to 17. The green is our current, this is our projected. So you can see here when we get to our low points how those gaps play out also. You have a pretty large gap, it gets smaller and smaller yet. So that's a good thing that we're doing what we can to close that gap. We don't have as large of a deficit carryover as what we've had in the past. Still doesn't eliminate the problems that we see coming. But it does demonstrate that we're doing a good job of what resources we have. So just kind of wanted to point that out. That's the gist of my report this month, because next month we'll have 5-year forecast, 10-year plan, and some other information that we can present. Does anybody have any questions for the July and August financial reports?
Can you go through all the spending plan?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to see $4 million, that's what you're showing as your projected ending for general fund?
Yes. That's the actual projected
okay.
$4 million. What the 17 budget actually showed $3.6 million when we originally did it. But we're at right now at $4 million. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. And next year.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Financial action items.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the July 2016 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
Call roll, please. Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the August 2016 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
I would just like to add too that we still are understaffed right now in our office, and but we have been able to maintain the workflow and keep the lights on, so to speak, and keep the checks flowing. That's a credit to my staff. They've really been overloaded, and they've really stepped up. We've processed more checks in this July and August and than what we did this time last year. So we're actually doing a really good job. That's a credit to Sarah Kirk, Teresa Brandt, and our new person that you'll be introduced to here later in the agenda. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Kelly Cooley. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Cooley.
Yes. You can call me Kelly. It's fine.
Mr. Dodds.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
I move that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the board approve the creation of a substitute bookkeeper position at a rate of $15.54 per hour. This request comes due to the need for assistance in the accounts payable department.
Second.
So can you tell us a little bit about this substitute? I mean, is it envisioned to be permanent or
me or
either one of them?
I probably can speak to it a little better. This is a person, I actually asked for the creation of this position. This is due to that long-term absence that we have in the accounts payable department, unexpected, and we don't know when that person's going to return. So I can't fill it with a permanent position. I can't replace it. So I need a substitute to manage that workload right now. We don't currently have a substitute accounts payable or a substitute bookkeeper position in place on the salary schedule. So we have to create the position. The way that we went about creating it was looking at, we have an accounts payable a bookkeeper level one, bookkeeper two, and a bookkeeper three on our salary schedule currently. We looked at the bookkeeper three, which is the cheapest, and took that at step zero, and that's what we set the sub-bookkeeper rate at. I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. It won't be a permanent position as far as an additional position.
That's what I mean. Once the health issues resolved or whatever.
Right. That position here will be reduced or eliminated as that person comes back.
If it became a permanent position, we'd still have to come to the board for that position.
Correct. Right.
To fill it.
Right.
So the substitute means she's only substituting and the other person's not there.
It's as needed, right, as there's a need. For instance, if that person were to come back on a half-time basis, there would still be a need there to pick up the slack. But if that person comes back in 100% full-time basis, then there won't be a need for a substitute.
We're not guaranteeing any hours, it's just as
needed. No, this is just strictly as needed. Right now I'm utilizing her for about 5.5 hours a day. The other 2 hours, she's working as an aide currently, so she has an aide contract. So the only additional cost right now is the differential between the substitute bookkeeper rate and the aide pay. Because whatever hours she's not working as an aide, we're docking, and then we're paying at the sub-bookkeeper rate.
So based on that utilization, if I project that out through the rest of the year and we continue to use her for another 225 days, and we don't replace the 8 hours, the aid pay that's over there now, we just continue to dock her and pay her an additional amount, it would be at about an extra $2,800 for a year if we use her every day.
Thank you. And Mr. Mason, I wasn't avoiding your question, but I was trying not to step on toes. Because the superintendent hires everybody in the district except for the treasurer and his employees. So I know that pretty well.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. President. First item is subject number 2, the board retreat. I did contact the board and asked if we could have a couple of retreats. We have various reasons we need to have that. October 17th, high school boards could come out, and that's the date that we've kind of set for that. The thing we need to discuss tonight is what time works and what location. I've listed we want to talk about board protocols and have our district attorney there. We may or may not have a change on the board, and that's a conversation we need to have is how we deal with that. And so that's why we're looking to have that meeting. Okay. I just need to know what times on that day you'd want to have, early, late. They said they could come just about any time.
Is it 17 o'clock?
What's that?
6 o'clock.
Monday.
Correct, yes.
Anything after 6?
I could probably be there. I could get there at 6.
6.
I'd like to do it earlier than later.
I think 6 is the earliest Mark can be there. Is that okay?
6.
Okay. And do we want to have a set time of 90 minutes, 2 hours? Just want to get it done. Okay. All right. And then location?
Why not have it right here?
We can have it here. We can have it wherever you guys want to have it. It's up to you. We'll set it up. Whatever you want to do. Here.
I'm okay with here.
Here's fine.
Okay. And the board retreat is open to the public. Make sure everybody knows that. Not a closed meeting.
Retreat. It's not like we're going to deer retreat.
Right. Right.
Ooh, is that an option?
You guys make that decision. Okay. Next item, I asked Todd to go ahead and pull up the 2015-16 report card, middle one there. And I know Dom was talking about Tolls and their report card. Tolls is evaluated a little bit differently, being a career center, than what we are. I'm not going to go into great detail because it's been well publicized that the state of Ohio changed the cut scores from last year to this year. They're progressing towards an 80% cut score, and I anticipate that you'll see just as many schools next year gnashing their teeth at the state of Ohio because they'll be seeing something similar to this. The good news for us, as I've told a couple of you, we are very well positioned to address this, meaning a lot of school districts, it came as a surprise that, oh my goodness, I went from A's and B's to D's and F's. We were, if you remember last year, B, C's and D's migrating up, and we had been the last 3 years. And you'll see here in just a second how that we dropped off. We knew we needed to improve. We started our improvement process about 4 years ago. Actually, it was longer than that, but the federal funding that we got. But officially, we started about 4 years ago with the MPIP, 3 years ago OIP, and we are migrating. This does not reflect that. A lot of school districts are trying to figure out, okay, how do I get into the improvement process? That's why I say we're well positioned to improve, because our staff know how to have TBTs and BLTs and the DLTs. We're having those conversations. We just bought Mastery Connect, which will allow us to assess students prior to taking these high-stakes tests. So we'll know where we're at before these tests are taken. A lot of districts aren't there, and they've got a lot of work and catching up to do. No excuses. You're not going to hear me yell at the state of Ohio. They changed the cut scores. It's their report card. What you will hear from me moving forward is, this is their report card and we will utilize that. But we need to have our own report card. We have our own goals, just like Don showing the goals for Coles. We need to represent what our goals are for Madison Plains and then report out on that along with this. And that's what you saw from the state superintendent. He said, this is just one component of measuring your performance. You have your own goals that you need to communicate to your community so they understand that this is one piece that you can judge your school on. There's more to it than just that. We will work on that this year so we have something more to communicate to our community than just this. If you could flip over, Todd, to the report card history. You saw this last year, and this is what I was talking about. If you look at the progression in our report card, we were down at the bottom where it says district overall grade. And to be clear, that district overall grade is a component I came up with. That's a four-point scale applying it to those grades the state of Ohio gave us so we can kind of get one grade because they had not provided that in the past. We were a D, a C, and a C+, so we were migrating up, and then we go back to a D, okay? You can see Jefferson Local, they're one of those school districts that were also D, C, B, then dropped down to a D. They lost almost two full points in their overall grade. London City went down to a 0.9. Dropped 2.2. They were a B last year overall to our C+. We were just this far from being a B. And so you can see London has some challenges. Jonathan Alder, they're one that I was talking about. They had to be a little surprised. If you flow through their 14-15 report card and then you see there's 15-16, they are one of those districts going to have to regroup and figure out what are we going to do next. Westfall did very well in the progress measures. Everything else is pretty much even with the rest of the districts other than graduation rate. And then Miami Trace, and that's one I look to that we were very similar to them last year, 2.1. We were a 2.9. We actually outperformed them last year. But this year they've done something with the new cut scores, and they performed very well. So I'm sure myself and the principals and Mrs. Grigsby will be having some conversations with Miami Trace to see exactly what they did that we didn't know about because they're also in the improvement process and have been for many years. Again, they were about 2 years further into the process than we are, so I don't know if that positioning allowed them to overcome the cut score changes or what, but they did very well. This is just to give you an idea, at least in our county and some of our surrounding schools, how we performed. And then if we can go to the other one, Todd. I'm sure you all had a chance to take a look at this, but the state superintendent sent out this nice little letter, and he said repeatedly throughout, this is just one component of measuring your school's performance, and he's almost coming short of apologizing for changing the cut score so dramatically in 1 year. If you flip to the next page, and you can read that. It's on the ODE website. This is some very good information we were all waiting for, the district results. Had the good fortune of talking with Mark earlier about this. If you take a look and you walk through our report card and lay it against that and start looking to see where we fell in with the majority most of the time. Some instances it was a majority I didn't want to be with. It was with the D's and F's, but it was still a majority. Where you don't want to be is one of the, for example, performance index, the seven schools that got an F. That's where you don't want to be. And as you go through, you get an idea that yeah, the state did make a very dramatic change from last year to this year. No excuses. We will do our best to improve. We know we're very close on some of these. We've already got things in place this year that we had planned on doing to improve again, and it's going to help us on next year's report card. And we can go into a much deeper discussion on what those things are at some point in time. But tonight I just wanted to give you the overview. Again, I'm not blaming the state of Ohio. We've got work to do. But again, I'm not going to demoralize our staff into thinking that they're not busting their rear ends and doing a great job, because they are. This is not reflective of the work and improvement that's going on. So I take questions if you'd like at this point.
Tim, I'm just going to make a comment.
Sure.
I don't know how the other board members feel at this point. I don't care how they feel about it, but I'm going to tell you what.
Sure.
This is wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that Chillicothe article stated, mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like putting you in a room, turn lights off, and then you try to hit the dartboard. So all the work that you guys have been doing, we appreciate that and continue on with that, but that's not fair.
I,
And I blame the state on that. The state needs to step back a little bit and stop trying to ruin the school systems.
They're very involved, and the problem is the politic, not political parties, but as different individuals get into the state legislature, different things get an emphasis, and it just swings. And that's where your state board of education, and I had the good fortune of, at the superintendent's meeting last month, one of the state board members was there, and he's leaving the state board for the reason that you're pointing to, is the state board of education has no power. That's what he told us point blank. He said, we're catching a lot of heat, and all we're doing is relaying what's told to us by the legislature. So he's getting off of there after one term. He said, I thought I could make a lot of change. I'm not going to, so I'm not going to waste my time.
The legislature needs to step back. Government needs to get out of school. Sorry, but that's just the way it is, because it's not fair. You know, we got people working hard, and the kids are trying to improve, and it hurts us, because then you look at the report card, and people are determining whether they want to move to that district or not. Mm-hmm. But right now, thank goodness, everybody stinks right now, according to what the state says.
Right.
So we got a little bit of leverage here. But if they keep changing it, that's just wrong.
It's definitely a moving target. The thing I can assure the board is, as you pointed to, Dave, is I know I and the administration are working feverishly to improve what's going on. We had a meeting in this room. Curriculum Council met last night, and we talked about all the changes, and Karen's been meeting with SLO committees, and the work is ongoing, and people are adapting to this new way of delivering our education to our students. We know we're doing a better job. The problem is the legislature's trying to raise the bar off of our backs. And it's disheartening, but I'm not going to let it affect our staff.
And I wouldn't be making too many changes or worry too much about it. Make sure you let the staff know that. And just continue on what they're doing, we'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I think worry about what we can control, because we'll never be able to control that.
Right.
Right, that'll always change and always be.
Right.
And I think that's what I've seen a lot of commentary from a lot of other schools that I've been reading about, and they're just like, we can't do anything about what the state says, but we can do what we know, we can control.
We know if we reach our goals that we've set in strategic planning and our improvement process, this will take care of itself. So we are doing that, we're working hard on it. All right, next up, the Child Care Committee. I'm gonna try to talk loud, because I know back there you can't really hear. The Child Care Committee was set up to evaluate the need for child care in the Madison Plains School District area. We had a great meeting on September 12th, great attendance. Almost everybody was there. I won't point out anybody that was not. We did have 13 out of, I think, 16 folks there. And I've kind of listed the things that we worked on, but just for the folks that are here, a survey of our parents has been conducted. I sent out 512 surveys to 512 email addresses. I've gotten 130 responses in a week, which I think is fantastic. It's 25%. So I'm really happy with that. We will go over that information tomorrow night with the Child Care Committee. I think they'll be surprised by some of the answers we got. To be honest, I'm getting such a good response from folks that that'll be part of our evaluation of the two-tier proposals as well, using that survey tool. So a lot of people had that survey go to their spam, but there's not a whole lot I can do about that. That's on their end, other than making sure they know to check their spam. So things we're learning by using that tool. We're also talking and contacting the child care centers in our area, not individual private child care providers, but going to the child care centers to see what their capacity is and where they're at right now, what's their enrollment. That gives us an indication of how many more students could they take. And then we had a great presentation from the Latchkey director at West Jefferson. She came out and spoke to us for about an hour and answered all of our questions that we had. Some of those you posed about Latchkey programs. And so we got a lot of good answers there. We meet again tomorrow night. We'll analyze all the information that we've gathered. One of our principals volunteered to see if we could facilitate a Latchkey program in our K-6 facility. You can guess which principal volunteered. And she will bring that tomorrow night. And again, we're not leaning towards any solution. Everything's on the table. We get that information tomorrow night. That'll go into the mix along with the survey results and community comments we get on two-tier busing for my final recommendation to the board on the 18th. So you will see that. So that's the child care committee. Any questions about what we're doing there? It's a very, it's not leaning one way or the other, this committee. Is that fair enough, Bob? We have people that are for it, people that are against it. So it's a good committee. So. The facilities update then?
Tim, will that decision change depending on which one of the two proposals we put forward, you know, as far as the latchkey, how would that affect that, basically?
The committee tomorrow night, once we get all the information back, we're going to look at it both directions. If we went with proposal one or proposal two, what would the need be? And the survey is really helping with a lot of that. The survey has given me some feedback that folks, and I'm not going to say which it is because it'll be backwards, but one way or the other, they need more afternoon care than they would need AM care. And so as the committee goes through that and digests that, okay, we really don't need an AM latchkey program, or we do need one. Or if folks are saying, whether you do two-tier busing or not, we need additional child care before and after school. So we're taking it as a whole and coming up with a solution. It doesn't mean it's what's going to be part of the recommendation, but the committee's going to come up with what they think is a good solution if there is a child care need. The facilities update, I just wanted to give you a touch on a few things. If you've been over in front of the Scholastic Boosters booth at the stadium, there's a water leak. It's a deep water leak right underneath the fence that's right by the track. Okay, we've got folks that are coming. We've had wellers out. We've got folks that are going to come out and eventually fix that. We don't want to lose the subsurface under the track. The water's settled there, so that's a big issue that I hope doesn't get bigger, so we're working on that to take care of that as quickly as possible. The stadium sound system, if you came to the football game the last few times, you were disappointed in the sound quality or the lack of sound at all, as I was as well, as has it been everybody that's been working on that, from Mr. Penny to Cody to anybody else that's had their fingers on it to Mr. Wilson. Tim Wilson actually came out and took a look at it and tried to help us with it as well. The solution for this past week, since we couldn't get it in as quickly as possible, was we did rent a sound system that was very nice, almost too nice. Our concern is now when we get our new speakers in that people say, well, we like the other one better. That was a whole lot more money, and we're not going to put that much money into it. But we are putting nice speakers in and new wiring. They will eventually come back out after the season and check the wiring underground up to the press box itself. We can migrate into a system that actually has the bass and the woofers that go up on the press box, so then you can actually have a stereo sound. We are working with Bartha Sound System, so and actually Mr. Wilson has agreed to work with us to kind of evaluate whatever they want to put in. I'm not an expert in sound systems, but I want to make sure that we have something that's quality. So that will, the speakers will be in by the October 7th game. So we should be good to go.
Make sure Mr. Wilson knows how much we appreciate his
involvement. I have. Yeah. Yep. He's really stepped up to help us quite a bit. The HVAC and the high school, we're almost past the need for it, but we do have several significant issues in the high school. The cafeteria is brutally hot when it's really hot outside because they really get no air in there. What we found out is the system was never hooked up to pump air into the kitchen. Cafeteria, yes, the kitchen, no, I apologize. It's the kitchen that's so hot. Commons are air conditioned. We're working again with Wellers and Spear. They're coming out and seeing what we can do. It can be a very expensive process. We're putting new controls in, but again, when you're talking about the chillers and that type of thing, you're talking potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we're getting through this summer best we can, lining up for the winter and spring to address for next summer as to what we're going to do in the high school for HVAC. So that's an overall PI plan discussion. The flagpole memorial, we have everything we need to do that. We have the money. The problem we've been running into is finding someone who will do the work. We've got a nice stone that we need to have put in with masonry and things like that. It's hard to pull a mason off, though, full-time jobs to come out and do a little job. Joe has contacted several people, I think. Matt has actually lined us up with a couple people to talk to, and they've been busy as well. So that's a challenge for us. I want to make sure I relay that to you guys, that we're not forgetting about the fact that we did commit to folks to put a memorial out there for their contributions for the flagpole. So that will be happening. It's just a matter of getting somebody to do the work.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
There'll be one here tomorrow.
Okay.
I scheduled it today.
Doing the work, or?
He's giving us a bid.
An estimate, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's great. So those are the four main things. We got a lot going on. We're a little short-handed right now. If you didn't know him, I know Bob had a new grandchild. Mr. Penny just had a baby this week. So he is out taking care of his wife. We've also got a couple custodians that are sick. We're dealing with some issues at home as well. So we're spread a little bit thin. Maintenance is helping cover some of that. So we're doing the best we can. We've got subs lined up. It's a matter of getting their backgrounds checked and getting them approved so we can get them working. So we are working on that.
Congratulations.
Next item is the Fallon Research Survey. As part of strategic planning, we committed to setting a baseline for our community support and getting a perception of how they feel about the school as it is. That's, again, strategic planning calls for that. I did have a gentleman lined up for September to start that. I called the gentleman back because he hadn't called me, and he said, I'm getting out of the business. I no longer can do the work. I have health issues. So Fallon Research was contacted, and they stepped right up and said, yes, we can do it as quick as you want. But they made some recommendations. They said, you don't want to do any surveys about anything right now until the election's over, because people will hang up, or they'll give you answers that are skewed because they're tired of surveys and advertising. Their recommendation was that we wait till November. I put down November 7th or the week of 7th or the 14th, because it'll take them 1 week to do it. They will do a statistically valid sample of our entire district. Again, we haven't done a survey in about 5 years. And this will help us moving forward, getting a perception of what we're good at, what we're not good at, what the perceptions are out there. You will be involved in looking at the questions to see if you think they're appropriate, if you like them, if you want to add something. They are more than willing to work with us on that. We'll be talking about that more at the retreat in October. Hopefully I'll have a draft and you guys can take a look at it at that point. The sideline store. Now we have some graphics. We currently have some great vendors in London that provide us with spirit wear. We have some other folks locally that provide spirit wear. One of the things we want to migrate to is to add to what they help us with as far as that goes, with our own fan store on our website. It'll be a link over to the sideline store. This is a mock-up that they've done for us. If you see, for example, the eagle, that is a golden eagle, and it is a new creation. You won't see that exact golden eagle anywhere else. Is there a bigger one there, Todd, somewhere you can pop up? How about the one with the logo on here? I had some planes under it. No, is it on there anywhere? Do you know? Because it's a little bigger. If it's not, that's okay. The reason why I'm showing this to you tonight, we could roll this out immediately, but we have plans to talk later in the year about branding our eagle. My concern is if we push this out right now and then we come back out in the second half of this school year and say, hey, here's our eagle. Yeah, there you go. Then folks might say, well, we just bought all this stuff, and now you're changing what your logo is. If you notice, Jonathan Alder had a big brouhaha over their A.
Right.
Okay? And that's why we're trying to find something unique, but...
Why was that a big brouhaha?
Because they copied somebody else's.
Exactly. Yeah. They had to change here because there was something
that
was going after.
Right. And I don't want to change... Our problem is I don't know that we have a pre-established logo that's ours. We have block M's, we have a plethora of eagles. I don't know that we have one. This is just to kind of say, this is ours.
As long as it's an eagle with a brown head like a golden eagle is supposed to be, that's fine with me.
There you go. And that's we want to make sure, you know, that we've had ample time to digest it, make sure it's what you want. I mean, this could roll out fairly quickly, but again, if we're going to be talking about anything else in the future, a style guide or anything like that, not successfully, in my opinion. Miami Trace just did that last year. They got beat up pretty good for changing their Panther head. But they do have a style guide on their website now that says, here's our colors. It says exactly what they are with the code for, you know, anybody who wants to make them. You got your Kelly Green. Well, what is Kelly Green? We've had that discussion before. No way do I want to change any of that. I just want to be able to say, okay, our fan store reflects what we've said are our colors and what our logo is.
Some of the pre-made designs that they come up.
Todd's kind of the...
You know, I did talk to Tim Wilson about the colors, and he said that there was never an agreed upon PMS color for that green ever in the history. He did the research, so I trust his opinion, but...
Yeah, the way the store is designed, just so you get an idea of the flow, you can pick any sport and any design and put it on any number of high quality merchandise. It's really high quality merchandise, you know, Nike wear and Under Armour and different things, or maybe not Under Armour, Nike, the main one. but you go and you select your say, you know, T-shirts, and then you can select your sport. And it goes ahead and gives you an idea, and then you can click your item, and you can further edit it with more designs. So you can pick the one that you like on the shirt that you like. They give the logo, and then they also did the block MP logo.
The beauty of it is we get royalties back. Towards future purchases, correct, Matt? That's where this one's at. Okay. Matt was instrumental in working with this company to get them lined up and get the mock-up page. Todd was also very helpful and instrumental in getting the design work and things like that done. So a lot of effort's gone into this. Again, this is something that could be rolled out quickly, or we can wait till after we've had more discussion about colors, logos, and that type of thing. I just didn't want to. Our fear was we roll something out and then come March we change, I don't know, one of the base colors or anything. I didn't want people to get upset with us changing things constantly.
I'm going to bring you up one of the original jerseys from back in 71. And you can see what that is. And then what they said
was,
I don't really care about the colors.
Is that yours?
The problem with that is that was a forest green color, supposedly is what the history says. Now, I talked to some people that voted on that, was on that committee. And they said that was supposed to be Forest Green. So I went online and I called up Forest Green, and I went online and called up Kelly Green. You know that there are colors in Kelly Green, they're all different.
Really?
Depending on who's putting it out, and some of those are darker than what the Forest Green was. So all we need to do is decide what kind of green, regardless if that's the green we're going to go with. It doesn't matter if it's called Hunter Green, Kelly Green, Forest Green, it needs to look like that.
It's the PMS color.
Just have your code, your color code.
It's what?
PMS color.
It's on the color spectrum. So when you said you have all those variations of that green in that, and it's all called Hunter, the PMS will dial it right down into that exact color.
It's the Pantone color grading system.
That's right. Pantone measuring system.
That's a woman thing.
No, it's not.
Because women must start grading. My mother-in-law used to carry one of those paint charts around that matched her color. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Megan would know exactly what we're talking about.
And she's got one, too, and I keep bragging on her about that.
But it is printing. That's the print technology is what that is. So any kind of, so that's why
as
I
long as we just make
it.
Sure it's the same, I'm fine.
We've received a lot of requests from our staff in particular to have high-end spirit wear, especially for ladies, because a lot of times it's just men's T-shirts. And this site's very good about that, so and we're pretty excited about it. Again, we can wait, or you know, I think we need to have a little more discussion. We're still talking about logos and things like that.
Put glitter on there and stuff.
So that's coming. Before we roll it out, you guys will.
That's nice.
Did you come up with that eagle?
Yes, I did.
I like that. That's different. That's different than anybody else's got.
But it does need to say Golden Eagles and not just Eagles.
Right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but on your shirts, it needs to say Golden Eagles.
Oh.
Okay.
We're not launching it.
Yeah, this is a beta site, so they give it to us to look at, so we can make any kind of changes as far as if Eagles or Golden Eagles. Actually, I think the original thing we sent up was Golden Eagles, and it ended up Eagles, so that's probably something they did that we just need to let them know. No, it needs to be
Golden Eagles.
Yeah. But that's what, you know, as far as you're asking about the design, yeah, I came up with the design and kind of put a good bit of thought into it, making sure it was a Golden Eagle and had the hooked beak like a golden eagle, not like a chicken or anything else. And
it started out as a blue lion. I don't know where that.
Yeah, and I had to massage. Now, one thing you'll appreciate is Washington Port does have a similar site, but they left all these. You have to select your sports, which they didn't do, which is interesting. But you can go on there and sign up and get a Washington Courthouse horseshoe short shirt. You know, if you're in the horseshoe club, or you can get any number of things that they don't even offer, but you can get it on a shirt. What we want to make sure is that anything you can get on here is a sport we have or an activity we have, and the colors that we want them to be on. So you can't get this design on a red shirt or, you know, any other color that we don't approve. They actually lock it down. They also have filters on there because you can add text to the back of the shirt. So if you do buy a jersey and you want your name on the back, you can do that. But they do have a filter on there that tries to catch any kind of inappropriate thing that might go on to a shirt. So it is really a well-designed site. We saw other sites that had a couple, maybe one or two things that we might have liked better as far as the product that they offer. This one had the best combination of the products that they offer as well as the functionality of the site. It's really a user-friendly site. And since it's money we're already spending with PSN for a lot of the supplies, we know we're going to be able to put that rebate to good use.
This might be something we'll talk again at the retreat about, just to get some thoughts from you.
Are we supposed to bring our green shirts or not? Is that what I was going to
do? Bring your color palette.
I would. I have a couple of those at the office.
Okay. Two-tier busing. Put a few notes on here. Everybody should have had a chance. There's copies of this laying back there. I told the board at the September meeting I would be offering up proposals for consideration, and at the October meeting would be a final recommendation. Okay. Today we've had the child care committee, I've had the blog, I've gotten lots of feedback. Where we've settled is in front of you, the proposal one and proposal two. Proposal one, I don't know if you can pull it up on top. Yeah, the first one. Bus chain proposals. Yeah. You can see number one calls for the K-6 students to be bused in at 7:30 a.m. High school students would come in at 8:40. I call this one a little bit unorthodox. You don't see this schedule very often, and it's one of the cons that's listed below. No neighboring district utilizes this schedule. I'm not going to walk through all the pros and cons. This will be on our website tomorrow. It will also, this by the end of this week, I hope to have another survey going out soliciting input from those same 512 parents that I asked about child care to give input on these two proposals. It's not a vote. It's going to be responses. I'm going to have lots of questions that kind of narrow down what they like and don't like about each proposal so we can consider that as I develop the recommendation. As Mr. Passwater pointed out, there are pros and cons, 4 to 5 bus drivers being laid off, that type of thing. We will also have financial information at that next meeting to go along with this recommendation that will be updated. Because as he pointed out, there were a lot of retirees. So we have to go back through and readdress that. The thing that does not change is the state's, their funding of us per mile is greater than our cost per mile, and that's how we're accumulating that excess revenue from them. So that's, again, we will balance that out against that and see how it impacts that $800,000. Okay. I don't discount the current bus schedule that's listed up there. Consistency. One thing I have heard through the blog quite a bit is we change too often. Again, We've not changed the start time a lot in the last couple of years. I think they're talking about prior to that, we consolidated, we changed. And I agree with that. And ultimately, our goal is to be consistent. But we want to get to that sweet spot where, okay, we're getting all the funding we can get for the service we're providing, and we don't have to change and won't change. So proposal number one, again, the difference is the time. We flip it for proposal number two. Your K-6 students come in at 9 and leave at 3:45. The 7:12 come in at 7:30 and get in at 2:30. And I can talk to anybody in this room, and I'll get different responses on which one they like and why. And I understand that. But again, it's my responsibility to make sure these are pushed out. Everybody sees them clearly. There'll be a press release that we will send to the media tomorrow that points out that here are our proposals. We want community feedback. Call, email, respond in a survey, and come to the next board meeting. But by the next board meeting on October the 18th, you will have a recommendation from me for one of these proposals. And it may or may not be coupled with a child care solution. That will come from the committee and what we find as a solution for that need. But I will have those all together along with the finances for the October 18th meeting. And it will be on our website as well. I did leave that off. So
all the different pieces will be available roughly when, before the next meeting? Anticipating as far as
early as you can.
The only thing that pushes me is when our final child care committee meeting will be. And I'm trying to give myself at least a week's space from that 18th meeting from our last child care meeting. We've got one tomorrow night, and we should have one more. That's the one we're supposed to come up with a solution. And so then I take that in conjunction with these two proposals and the feedback I'm getting from the survey in the community, and then I'll develop my final recommendation. I don't know if the board wants me to put that final recommendation out a week in advance or the Friday we always do, or what's the board's desire? That gives me a timeline.
As soon as possible.
I prefer it early.
Earlier. Okay. Yeah, if you can get that out early. Just because it's a lot of information to review. Yeah. And if they have questions.
Right.
If people have questions and that comes out and they call us, do you want us to direct them to call your office?
I'm happy to talk to anybody about either of these proposals at any time.
Okay.
What usually happens is, well, it always happens, it's a very unique issue. Every person has something unique to their situation. I work in Columbus, so this. Or I'm a stay-at-home mom, so it doesn't really impact me. So it's really a matter of what we think is going to have the least detrimental impact on the most people. And again, that's why I'm hoping the survey gives me some good responses, just like we've got for the child care committee. That will help quite a bit. The survey, I feel a little better about it because it's going specifically to one of our parents, and they're responding specifically back, and they can't keep responding. So I feel like and there's places for them to comment for the child care committee. So if I do the same thing over here, we can get some real feedback on the situations that are at hand. So,
sure. One thing on our five-year forecast. Since we haven't made this decision yet about two-tier busing, and it is such a huge financial impact on our forecast, that five-year forecast will be completed as though we are single-tier next year, just because we have not made any kind of decision. And that's the information we have right now. That's based on the filing deadline that we do have to file by a certain date. If we choose to go another direction or we do go to two-tier busing, we can immediately then revise that forecast and draft another one. With the additional information. So I just didn't want you to be thrown off by anything that you receive, like we've actually made a decision or anything like that. Just anytime we do a five-year forecast, we do it with the available information that we have. So right now, we're single tier, so that's what the forecast will be now, based on single tier.
And I appreciate you doing it this time, and if you do put that to an email and the one call, just letting people know, like, go look at our website, it's now on there.
Okay.
The more communication,
agree. And Todd, just go ahead and open one of those. It doesn't matter which one it is. This will be a companion document. You've seen this before. It has the same information at the top, but down below it compares us to other districts. So you can get an idea of, you know, the high school's coming in at 840. That's why I say we're kind of an outlier at that point. Doesn't mean we won't do that, but and our elementary coming in at 730 is definitely earlier than everybody else's. So just good information for those surrounding districts. That will also be out there for people to see. All right, just two there. And one other thing. It didn't come up underneath public communication or the board section, but our boys golf team won the Ohio Heritage Conference League meet, which that's our first league championship in our new league. And actually, I'll put out there, Morgan was first team all league for the girls. So it was a great day out there, and congratulations to all those student athletes.
We had two first teamers on the boys. That was
right.
Jonathan Dillon and Tessie.
They recognized them at the football game Friday night, so it was nice. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey, Mr. Bella.
Yes, sir.
Today was boys sectionals, and Jonathan Dillon won the district.
All right.
Really?
Yay,
that's great. Great, great, great. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much.
Unlike Elvis did. Thanks
so much. Just so everybody knows on that, too, that's quite an accomplishment because there's only one that goes in for score, single score that moves on. And then there's a team that moves on. There's one team and there's one individual. So that's quite an accomplishment to do that.
Yeah. We'll line him up to come to the next meeting.
On to new business.
Make a motion that upon recommendation the superintendent the board approve the first and final reading of the following support policies as presented below. AFCA, evaluation of school counselors. GCNA, evaluation of school counselors.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, this is a first and final due to the fact that we're required to have this policy in place by the end of this month. We were given little time to get that through board policy committee. It's in line with our teacher's evaluation. The big thing is if you are rated accomplished, then you're out for being evaluated for 3 years. Skill is 2 years and so on. So we match that with what's in our teachers. And since the counselors are part of the teachers union, we thought that was appropriate. We are going to meet with union representation in regards to the actual evaluation tool. That's in their contract that we'll do that. The evaluation provided by ODE is complete. It's the one we're using now, but we are obligated to sit down and go over that evaluation tool with them. This doesn't change that in any way, shape, or form. It's just letting you know that there's further work to do on that evaluation.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation the superintendent the board approve the first reading of the following board policies as presented. DECA, administration of federal grant funds. EHA, data and records retention. IGBA, programs for students with disabilities.
A second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries. Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that the board accept with regret the following resignations. Sally Curry, effective 7/1/2016, bus driver, 31 years of service for retirement. And Tara Wyrick, effective date 8/15/2016, as an aide, 1.25 years.
Second.
Discussion.
The good news is Tara was a personal reason, but Sally had agreed to come back and sub for us, and she has been subbing after her separation period due to SCRS, but been coming back and doing a great job for us, so glad to have her back as a sub.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Board a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contract to take accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year, as listed below.
Could you read all those, Kelly?
No.
Yes, please.
Oh, my gosh, right? All 9,000 of them below. Yeah, no.
I'll second.
I was waiting for that.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following corrections to motion 16-128 as listed below.
Any discussion?
Second.
Any discussion?
And this is due to the fact of we thought we had a set number of people that were going to split it, and that number changed. So, and a couple of them were already approved in the prior meeting, so we're correcting this.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following to serve as substitute aide for the 2016-2017 school year, as listed below.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following to serve as a substitute cook for the 2016-2017 school year, as listed below.
I'll second that. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve Steve Elam to serve as a substitute custodian for the 2016-2017 school year.
Second.
Any discussion? Well, at least from what I heard, he worked really hard in that course in the past, and I'm glad he's going to continue to work.
Yeah. He's a good employee.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, CFO, the board approve the employment of Courtney Bricker to serve as substitute bookkeeper effective August 25th, 2016 on an as-needed basis.
Second.
Discussion?
I think we discussed this earlier when we talked about the creation of the position, but if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ following to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year, as listed below, Michelle Ehring, W. Peter.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Joe Stewart on a 1-year contract as intervention specialist, MA plus 15, step 11, to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year.
I'll second that. Discussion?
I think one thing to point out is Mr. Stewart will be on a 1-year contract. Again, resigned after the end of the school year last year, so that puts him back on a 1-year contract this year.
How have things been going so far with him?
My conversations with Dr. Unger are that he's working very well. That's his, where he spent most of his career was in the high school. He's working with high school students, which is where his expertise is at. It's intervention English. So again, he's working with the area of his licensure. He did everything over the summer he needed to do to get his alternative, his supplemental license, as they call it, for intervention. So we feel he's done everything he's supposed to do. He's got an improvement plan based off of last year's performance. So we feel very confident. To date, he's done everything we've asked him to do in a timely manner, and he's doing a good job.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Motion carries 4-1.
I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve the leave of absence for Ray Belt beginning August 11, 2016 through October 31st, 2016.
I'll second.
Discussion.
I do want to say that Ray is dealing with a personal health issue. It's keeping him from driving a bus for us. I don't believe he'll be back. I don't think he'll have the ability to drive when he comes back, if he wants to come back. And again, this is us reaching out and trying to help him through this time. SCRS should have, at their October meeting, they will approve his disability request. So hopefully that'll be taken care of at that point.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the final revisions of the student parent handbook as presented. Section 4, graduation information criteria with diploma for honors, page 33.
Second.
Discussion.
The good news is our communication over the past year about weighted grades and all the different things we've involved parents with. They're very involved in the handbook now, which is a good thing. This actually came from one of our parents saying, hey, there's a reference that doesn't, you don't have the reference that's on this page that ODE has on their page. And it was edited on our part, and we thanked her for it, and that's why it's in here tonight. So.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the service agreement between Madison County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Madison Plains Board of Education for 2016-2017 school year as presented.
Second.
Any discussion?
Call roll, please. Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I'm asking at this time that we go into executive session.
Okay. For which section?
Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or a regulated individual. This is under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G. And we'd be going in at 8:35.
I'll second that.
You might want to go ahead and include Section 5, too. Matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state status.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Executive session.
And there will be no action taken after executive session, and the meeting will adjourn after executive sessions.